Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Shavuot with Rabbi Daniel Landis. This week for Shavuot, it's a tradition to study Torah and other Jewish texts on the evening of Shavuot. If you are doing that this year, then please take a moment to tell your study partners about this podcast. Our listenership grows from word of mouth. Tell them about the podcast and how they can tune in themselves. Remember that we're available on iTunes and also other places that can receive podcasts. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landis discusses Shavuot. Rabbi Daniel Landis is the director of the Pardes Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landis.
Hello, Larry, and hello to everyone listening. We're before Shavuot at Pardes, getting ready as you are. Our night of learning, it's exciting. I want to go back to the Book of Ruth. Interesting that we call it a book. You know, it's a short story. Maybe a novella. Certainly if it was filmed, it would come out to be book length, as it were. We occupy ourselves studying Ruth, very much with her story, with Naomi's story, the trials and travails that she goes through. Sometimes we focus also on Naomi's trials and travails. But one person we don't talk about too much, we're usually too tired. And if so, he's a supporting character. By he, I don't refer to King David, who's a descendant of their match, and is referred to as a descendant of Ruth, and in a certain sense always referred to or thought of as descendant of Naomi, although there's no DNA there of Naomi. But Boaz, we don't think about too much. So I want to tell the story of Boaz from Boaz's perspective. It's not as developed as the story of Ruth. He doesn't get as many lines. But I think we should think about him for a little bit. First of all, what type of situation is he going to get himself involved in? Ruth, nothing wrong with her, but Ruth was the wife of a certain man of Bethlehem, the son of a certain man of Bethlehem, Elimelech. Elimelech, who came from Beit Lechem, the breadbasket of the country, when they have starvation at the breadbasket, you know, it's a bad situation. But Elimelech, a shofet, a judge, who gives up on his people and turns his back on them, and who goes to the hated Moab, and he goes there, but he doesn't last long. And when Mahlon and Chilion, the two sons of Elimelech, take wives, and they take Orpah, they take Ruth, and so Ruth, I guess, is married to Chilion. And what are these names, Mahlon and Chilion? Sickness and destruction, or sickness and extinction. These are not great names, and they don't last too long. So Naomi leaves, you know the story, but Naomi leaves, and she is a destitute, depressed woman. She says, don't look at me as Naomi, pleasantness, she says to the ladies who greet her when she comes back to Beit Lechem. Think of me as Mara, think of me as bitterness, a depressed, bitter woman. And you have Ruth, and Ruth seems to be fine. But I'm saying, well, you're making a shidduch here. This is not a simple shidduch. A simple shidduch would say, you know, she comes from a great family, yes, she's a widow, her first husband was wonderful, her father-in-law was wonderful. What I'm trying to say to you is, or say to myself as I look at it from Boaz's perspective, or of the other Hebrews living in Beit Lechem area, not much of a bargain in terms of the family she comes from. Her only Jewish yichus, there are those who say she was a descendant of royalty, of Moabite royalty. That, first of all, for us ain't a great yichus, because Moab we don't like. The fact that she's referred to as a Georit all the way through, or not referred to as a Georit, but a Moabitess, Moabiyah, continues that notion. There's things to overcome. The fact that she is the effective daughter-in-law, honorifically, of Naomi, who doesn't seem to be doing much, seems to be shut into her house, may lay claim to some property, but really owns nothing, really has nothing to eat, And Ruth, when Boaz finds her, is really amongst the lowest part of the hierarchy, and the lowest part of the hierarchy. She's out there in the field, half defending over off the guys who want to make a pass on her. She must be a good-looking person. Fending them off, working very diligently and hard because there's no other income source. There's nobody else working the fields. There's nobody else, nobody else trying to gather some grain so that she will have something to eat. She is the bottom of the totem pole, bottom of the hierarchy. And when he sees her, he is struck by her, perhaps struck by her work, struck by how beautiful she is, the grace in how she works. Who is this person? She asks, who does she belong to? And the truth is she belongs to almost really nobody. But she's linked to Naomi. At that tense meal that Boaz invites her to, in which they eat, in which she is really a subjective person, Boaz has really done his duty. Boaz has a good working field. She's able to glean as much as she can. He tells her also she needs to go. She doesn't need to go to any other field, which means that all the other women, you know, they glean a little bit in one field, they go to another field, glean some more, go to a third field. She doesn't have to worry about that. She can continue gleaning in this one field. She doesn't have that problem. And she doesn't have to worry about the guys hitting on her because he tells her, don't worry, I'll protect you from the guys. And he does. He says to his young men, leave her alone. There's nothing more that he needs to do. In fact, there is one more thing he does. He gives her a heartfelt blessing that God should give her sanctuary, that God should give her recompense for the very fine mitzvah she has done by taking care of Naomi, and she has come here all alone and by herself. She's left her family in order to do so. So Boaz validates what she has done, and he blesses her with God's blessing. And remember, this is a very godly man. When he comes and sees his men, when he comes back and he enters the picture, he enters the scene, he says God's name, but we'll say Hashem, the name. He says, the name Imachev shall be with you, but the Lord be with you. So he's a holy man, and he blesses her. He knows what he's doing. And he gives her the means for taking care of her situation at the moment. Boaz has done it all. But, as the expression is, no good deed goes unpunished. And how does a good deed go unpunished here? Well, as the rabbis would say, mitzvah gerer mitzvah. One mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. Naomi is shrewder than we think, wakes up from her depression and lethargy, sends Ruth back at the end of the harvest, and says, wait till it's light, go to where he is, lie down next to him, uncover, make sure you're all dressed beautifully, that you're washed, that you're scented, that you have your one good dress on, make sure he's alone, make sure it's a moment that he has eaten and drunk, and he's finished, then uncover his feet, waking him up, or uncover the place of his feet, it may even be more sexual than it first seems. And that's what Ruth does. And Ruth says to Boaz, it's not enough. I need everything. I need you to take care of me. And by the way, you need to take care of Naomi. You're old enough to be Naomi's husband. I'm bringing Naomi along. According to the rabbis, when Boaz came into the picture originally, he was up from Sheba for his wife. He's not going after Naomi. He's not going after Ruth. Leave me alone. I'll do my mitzvot the way I'm supposed to do them. I'll do even more. But she says it's not enough. You have to do everything. So he does everything. He blesses her again. He thanks her for the opportunity to help her. He validates her in her weakest moment. And here she's just asked for everything. And he says, I'll see what I can do. Is he like Darcy? Is he the safe male? Well, boy, is he a safe male. That whole night, as the midrash says, they lie next to each other in the field, and you could barely put a knife between them. They're so close, but he doesn't do anything to her. He does not take advantage of her. The rest of the story, you know, goes fast, and I think this is what's really important about Boaz. Boaz's name, Boaz, with strength. He moves fast. He knows what he's doing. We should not miss the fact that Boaz's first task is to take care of the Goel, the redeemer, the man that actually should take care of the family, who should really redeem the claim to the property that they have, is to buy it, take care of it. And therefore, by doing so, make sure that the property's in the family. Boaz does not work in order for this man. He doesn't come to this man and convince him it's a great mitzvah and a great business opportunity. In fact, I'll help you with the cost. Don't worry. And here you'll have a very beautiful woman. By the way, she comes with an entourage, chaperone. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that to Ruth. In fact, what he does is he says, in a very clever way, he gives all the facts to Plony, to this anonymous, unnamed individual who is the Goel, who's really the Redeemer, and says, yes, a great opportunity. You got to take a woman alongside. You got to take the rest of the family. And he does it in such a way that Plony, the Goel, the Redeemer, says, you know what? You be the Redeemer. And Boaz says, I'm the Redeemer. 10 men are present. You make sure that there is this kind of super court. It's in the Shar Ha'ir. It's by the city gate, the place where courts meet. It's solved in a very close time. According to the rabbis, it's at that moment that they halachically decide. And Boaz is a rights advocate. He advocates for the poor. He's advocating for the Moabitess. She's been converted, evidently. But, you know, she's on the bottom society. He raises her up. He says it's a privilege to raise her up. It's a privilege to be married to her. I'm going to redeem her property, and I'm going to redeem her. I am going to redeem alongside that Naomi. And look what he says in chapter 4, verse 10. Begam et Ruth Moabiah Eshet Mahlon. I made a mistake before. She's the wife of Mahlon, not Gilead. The wife of sickness. Machala, Machlon, or real sickness. Kaniti Lilisha, I've acquired her for a wife. Why? Lahakim Shame Mate Al Nachalato, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Veloyi Koret Shema Mate Me'imachav, that the name of the dead be not cut off among his brethren. And he redeems Machlon. He redeems this guy called Sickness. So you almost see this name in Yiddish. A person who's the son of Elimelech, who turned his back on the people, and he says, these people will not be cut off. I redeem you, Ruth. I redeem your mother alongside it. I do it with the... And I do it, and we bring Mahlon back as well. Nobody is left behind. What an image of a Jewish man acting with strength. According to the rabbis, you know, they had their relation, and a child is born, she conceives, and she bears a son. The women say to Naomi, look what you have. You have a child now, lovelily, and looking at it, this child is a Goel in his own right. What a wonderful daughter-in-law who loves you. All of a sudden, Boaz falls out of the picture. According to the rabbis, Boaz had it in him to impregnate her with a wonderful son, and then he dies. And kind of the story kind of has that way, because he disappears. He's done the act that he needs to do. He's redeemed her, and he's given her a son. She is now set up. We know that he's a wealthy man, so she's in a good situation. From such a union, and from Ruth, we can only imagine what a person she was, and many, many drashot will be given, and many shiurim will be given about Ruth. We can only imagine what a great person she is. We see how Naomi, when she comes alive, how fantastic she is. But let's not forget Boaz, and let's not forget this new image of true male strength. A man may have to be nudged a little bit, has to be kind of inspired and pushed a little bit. But once a good Jewish man, this is the paradigm, does what he wants to do, he does it in order to redeem, in order to raise up, in order to transform, in order to validate, in order to make whole, and in the end, he does his act in order to finally bring David, and through David the Messiah. Ken Yehi Ratzon, I wish you a wonderful holiday.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.